precious name of Jesus. It's been a blessing to be here this morning already in Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then that ought to produce a heart of gratitude. And godliness with contentment is great gain, and contentment is only because we're thankful, and we meet a lot of unthankful people, and it's because they're discontent. So it's a privilege to be gathered here together with you again this morning, and as I was blessed with one song, I'd like to read it, read some of the words to us. Sometimes when I sing, I don't always read what I'm singing. It says, 509, I open, Lord, my soul to thee. The door unto my heart wide open, Jesus, come to me. Thy peace and joy impart. A dwelling make within me, Lord, rule thou my will today. Bring to my heart thy perfect will, this changing deep I pray. And I trust this is our prayer this morning. This is our desire, that our hearts are wide open. And Brother Matthew read it, verse 3. I'm going to read it again. Speak loudly to my mind, O God. Impress thy will on me. Protect me from temptation's voice. I lend my ear to thee. The shepherd's tender voice now speaks. Rare counsel I have heard. Give wisdom for whatever comes. Make me to know thy word. As I have thought of those, we gather together on a Sunday morning, and our hearts, are they just wide open? Not because somebody's going to preach a message, and not only on Sunday mornings, but what happens when you your spouse tells you something this morning? What happens when a brother tells you something last week? Your boss tells you something? Is my heart just wide open? And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. We're going to endeavor to anyways, is the binding roots of unforgiveness and the wings of forgiveness. And when we think of unforgiveness and we think of forgiveness, unforgiveness starts the seed of bitterness. Bitterness leads to more offenses. And this all starts with just one offense. And that's a tap on the shoulder. That's your spouse says something to you. Your boss says something. It happens. And we're going to look at some scriptures. The first one is in Matthew chapter 18. We'll go to Matthew chapter 18 as we we'll start reading in verse 7. It's going to be a little lengthy reading. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. But as we think of the thought of unforgiveness and forgiveness, before we read to that, those come with offenses. And an offense comes when someone tells me something sometimes. And when we look at an offense this morning, we're going to look at it in a broad term. It can be used in many different ways, giving a brother an occasion to stumble or fall. You do something, then it offends someone. Brother Barry gave the illustration of the big glasses. Someone can walk in the room and he has big glasses, he or she has big glasses on. What happens in my heart? That can be an offense. That offends me. We'll talk about this a little later, but sometimes it can simply be as you pull in my driveway and I have a certain brand of truck sitting in there and you don't like that truck and it offends you. Now, it's pretty trivial, okay, and it's pretty foolish, but it happens, and it happens to Christians. We become offended sometimes over the smallest things, but we can't avoid those things, at least not according to the Bible. So let's start reading in Matthew 18, verse 7. It says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee, for it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think you? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? There's two questions there. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou hast desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So that's several different accounts there of offenses coming and how we were to handle them. The first three verses there, woe to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. So in the world we live in, we will be offended. There will be times that offenses will come. And in this case, it's the opportunity to fail, the opportunity to sin, the opportunity to stumble as you go through this life. You will have those opportunities. In the world we live in, they're going to be there. But it says, woe to him that cometh. So we shouldn't be some that do it. We should never give another brother an opportunity to stumble. Just never do that. That would be very disgraceful, as you think of one of your dear brothers here, and you'd be so willing to do something that would make him stumble. And I'm not just saying like stumble and fall, but he would lose his way in the Christian life, and he would end up in eternal hellfire. How devastating that would be. Most of the time, probably not over something that big. So as we think of offenses, we have the opportunities on every hand to fall, but we don't have to fall. You and I don't have to fall, okay? We don't have to live in that. Children, so we can't avoid offenses. So I believe it's more important that we learn what to do with our offenses. Now, little children, it's born within them. They get offended. They're playing with something, or they build something, and the sibling comes and destroys it, or they're out playing, and little boy kicked the ball, and he made a home run, and it offended me because I kicked it, and it made me out, and so they retaliate. They get back, and they get even. They go fix this thing. Well, we have learned not to do that. That would just, and we're a little more sanctified than that. So we don't retaliate, not at least outwardly. Most of the time we say nothing, but most of the time we bury it in our hearts, and we harbor it there. And remember that unforgiveness starts the seed of bitterness. It plants a little seed in our hearts at that time. And where's the eraser for this? Chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Then said he, Jesus, unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast it into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So in these passages we have found that there's absolutely no room for unforgiveness. That's not, in the kingdom of heaven, there's no room for unforgiveness. The unforgiveness is the devil's work. When we refuse to forgive. Remember that the parable in Matthew where the king had forgiven his servant so great a debt. But when my brother trespasses against me, I can't let it go. I can't release that. I won't forgive him when Christ has forgiven me all of that. So come. We can't avoid them. We shouldn't be surprised when they come. In a sense, we shouldn't be offended that we got offended. Somebody did something against me. I shouldn't be offended about that. Because we should expect them. If we're living in the kingdom, we should expect these things to come. So they shouldn't surprise us. And so you have Joseph, the story of Joseph. Joseph, in our way of thinking, had a right to hold a grudge. He had a right to have some bitterness. I mean, he was treated terribly wrong. The way his brothers did it, it was absolutely wrong. And he could have, as we would in our term, say, well, but if you would know how bad it was, then I have the right to hold this. But what Joseph do? Well, Joseph, he recognized the sovereignty of God in every situation. And he just really forgave. God's hand is in it. Do I believe that? That every offense that comes is an opportunity for me to grow. It's an opportunity for me to mature. So some fruit to come up. It's freeing. I think of Joseph when he was cast into the pit there. He knew his brothers hated him before this, and they took him and cast him in the pit. And I know it sounds kind of, maybe super spiritual, unrealistic. But he almost forgave his brothers before they did it. You know, I know that doesn't, that sounds like, well, I never get offended. You know, I'm just above all of these things. I know where we live. We live here. But as it was happening to Joseph, he chose to forgive. And God continued to use him. And he continued to use him. It didn't always feel good. I mean, he spent time in prison for nothing. But it was okay. God continued to use him. Nor should we be surprised when someone wears something that I don't like. The brother says something that's wrong with me. He goes someplace that I wouldn't go. He gets something that I wouldn't get. Most of what we call offenses today comes from myself getting trampled on. The bottom line is, when I get crossed, my opinion gets ignored. When I get crushed, then I become offended. And so that's a good indication that perhaps there's some work needs to happen in my heart. If I would yield my heart to that, then God could use that to bring me to perfection. And these all give us opportunities for they give us opportunities for bitterness to be planted in our hearts, and we can exercise forgiveness. We can just and we can recognize and see the sovereign hand of God in our work. So maybe I should make sure we're all on the same level. How many of you have ever been offended? Just raise your hand. How many of you have ever offended someone? We don't know. We don't know that answer, but we've all been offended. So we exercise our mind now. You go back and what did offend me? And there are some things, when we talk, they're right there, right? We don't have to sit here and say, oh, I don't know. I can't remember if I was ever offended or not. We know. There's some situations that are pretty big. So offenses will come, but woe if they come from us. Woe if they come from us. It would be better that we were not born if we offend a brother or sister. It would be better that a millstone was put around my neck. And to be honest, I don't care if it's a 50-pound millstone hanged about your neck and you're cast in the sea. You're going to go down and you're going to drown. It's going to be the end of your life. So it's not this thing, well, I'll just grab the millstone, we'll swim, and we'll get to the other side, and we'll be fine. But it would be better that you or I wouldn't exist if we put an occasion to stumble in my brother's way. So we walk circumspectly because we do not desire to plant a root of bitterness in my brother's heart or give an opportunity for one to grow. Paul says, if meat make my brother to offend, I just simply won't eat any meat. Let's turn our Bibles now to Romans chapter 14. We'll read in we'll start reading in verse 13. I believe that we must guard against and do everything on our part to not offend a brother. And in verse 13 it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But, he puts a shadow of that, he says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. This is Paul's heart. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. There's no love there. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith we may edify one another. Again, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned to be eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we can spend some time in that passage there. But as we think of the first verse there is to judge this rather, to make sure that we don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in our brother's way. Even though in our heart, we may be persuaded that all things are pure. And so therefore, if you can eat meat, why can't I? If I can eat meat, why can't you? We're Christians. So why do we get offended? Why do you get offended if I choose to eat a steak supper? Well, why does that offend you? You can't. Well, why does it offend you if I choose to eat pork and you choose not to? Well, why does it offend you if I do whatever you want to put in there? If I wear those big eyeglasses? Or if I wear the little slits? Why do those offend you? I have the liberty. I'm not condemned in doing it. Why does it offend us? You see him. So we need to use all caution, because it gives opportunity for a root or a seed, just a seed of bitterness to be planted. And most of you know this already, but in a seed, the first things that we see is this, right? We see these little wiggly roots that start going down into the soil. Now there's still no fruit up on top. Nobody knows that there has been a root of bitterness planted in your heart. Nobody knows that. But we must walk very circumspectly, because Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother that is offended, I can't quote that now. Be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So when a brother is offended, why is it so difficult for an offended brother to be won back than one that's not been offended. When you offend a brother, it's he's harder to be won than a strong city. We're going to leave some of those thoughts. You can think about that a little bit. Now we're going to need to go to another thought, is a word of caution to those who become easily offended. There's those that there's offenses, but there's people that are just always offended about every little thing. Is it okay to be always offended? Is it okay when someone walks in with something that I don't appreciate? Is it okay for me to just be offended? I'll give you a little illustration of that. Many years ago, and some of you already know this, but my brother started to drive a vehicle. I remember the day, I remember the phone call, and that offended me. I was not driving a vehicle yet. I was still driving horse and buggy. I didn't think that it was necessary, but that was an offense to me. And I remember that. I heard it. And there was some choices made right there. When that phone call took place, there was choices made in my heart, and I nearly shunned him for a time, because that's not the way we're going to go. And that was an offense. Until one time him and I were talking, and not necessarily about that subject, but the subject came up about being too easily offended. Well, I didn't like that either. But then I started searching my heart, because was I just offended too easily? Is it wrong? Is it a sin? Is it for him to drive a vehicle? No, it's not. And so then I had to let it go. And it's very, very freeing. And so a caution to being easily offended is, remember that most of the times that we are offended, it's because my opinion has been ignored. I have been trampled on. So keep that in mind. And we're not talking about people, we're talking about in the church. There's many brothers get offended because of some of the smallest details. And then those roots of bitterness come in, and it destroys a brotherhood. And I've seen it over and over again. Most of the time when we're offended, it's rooted in self. Sometimes it's rooted in jealousy. Sometimes it's rooted in envy. And we see that in Saul and David's relationship one with another. David is a beautiful example of not being offended easily. Again, when Saul pursued his life, he never struck back. He played the harp, Saul threw the javelin. Had opportunities, and real opportunities to be offended. You go, Brother Barry calls you over, and he'd like for you to sing some songs to him, and you're sitting over there singing, and he throws a javelin at you. I mean, I'd never do that, but so you're now, would you leave there and just, we just love Brother Barry? But there's something happens. There's an offense. Why'd he do that to me? Well, he should have never done that. Saul even denied him his daughter, but yet David walked very carefully so not to offend Saul in any way. He walked very carefully. He didn't want to do that. And therefore, the roots of bitterness had no place to take root in David's life. But now on the other side, Saul, he heard one song. He heard one song, and it just stirred up within him. It was an offense to him, because they liked David better than they liked Saul. And from that day forward, he couldn't let David go. And these little seeds went in there, and they started to grow. And it didn't take long. There was a lot of fruit came out of his life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. again, in this whole thing of being too easily offended, just a word of caution to us. But verse 23, chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So as we're in a brotherhood, we seek each other. We don't seek our own. We're not here to see what I can get, but we're here to see what I can give. Verse 25, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thank you. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that? Why am I evil spoken of that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I pleased all men in all things, seeking not my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So here we have again Paul saying that all things are lawful for him. He has the liberty to, he says all things, so we'll just leave it at that. And so then he asks the question, or he tells us that if a brother says, or if a man saying to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, don't eat for his sake. Just refuse it. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't wear that. For their sake. Then Paul says, well, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Well, why is my liberty judged? So we all have, let's go down first. It says, give none offense, neither to the Jews. And I'm going to put in here, you can correct me if this is incorrect. To the Jews would be the religious sect of people, the people that have some type of a religion. Nor to the Gentiles, this is the society around us, society we live in. And nor to the church of God is our brotherhood. So give none offense. So now who... Where's my liberty judged by? Who determines what I can and cannot do? Only the Bible? Jesus didn't say I can't do that, right? So Jesus said, you can say anything about that. No, my liberty is judged by you brothers, by the community, by our families. Brothers, we don't want to give any offense to anybody. Even our unconverted neighbors, our unconverted family. We don't want to give them one opportunity to have a seed of bitterness in their heart. Not one. Woe to the man that offends anybody. So we're to walk in this life not offending anybody. Verse 33, Paul ends, he says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, and the reason is that they may be saved. So we're seeking the profit of those around us. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's and we'll see this later on, it's eternal life. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me or unto you, unto us, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And we could read on, should read more, but we will, when those things that happen unto us, you all raised your hand, you've been offended at one point. Somebody, that means somebody had given, you did something that you didn't like. Your will was transgressed. Did it fall out rather to the furtherance of the gospel? Or did it land in unforgiveness and plant a seed of bitterness there? And you see, some of these things, by the way, do you know that you are offended the easiest by those that are the closest to you? For those of you who are married, your spouse can do the smallest thing to offend you. That seems odd. Your brothers in the church, they do the smallest thing to offend you. We just use this illustration, Brother Barry's illustration. A brother comes in Sunday morning, he has these big bug-eyed glasses on, and the brothers, something happens in my heart. Now, just yesterday, Brother Barry was at Walmart, and somebody come in, and they had these big bug-eyed glasses, and he met him, and he was talking to him about Jesus, and they had this wonderful conversation, and nothing happened in my heart. No offense took place. So those that are closest to you, we have the most opportunity to offend someone is those that we live with. Those that know you the best and you know the best. And all this while, we face less offenses, okay? We're growing in Christ. Up here is eternity. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's heaven. It's a beautiful place to dwell. That's the end result of when you're offended and you use it for the furtherance of the gospel. You choose to just lay down your life. You choose to let it go. You choose to forgive, and you release them, and then therefore God uses you to walk closer with Him, and you have a better relationship with Him. Less things offend you. My brothers can do things if you will, maturing in Christ, where we're becoming more perfect. But that's not always what happens. How many of you are familiar with this? Not forgiving. How many of you ever, maybe a day or two, maybe a week, maybe a month, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us understand what not letting go is? We just bury our hearts a little bit. It's hard. It hurt me. So then the unforgiveness is gives the opportunity for a root of bitterness to set in. Bitterness is a silent killer. Bitterness, you could have hatred, bondage, because it binds us up. And when this here happens, then you have a your walk with God is moving farther and farther away. First, it's a distancing from the brotherhood. So you distance from brothers, then you distance yourself from in doing that, you distance yourself from God. Sorry. And as you're walking in that journey there, you're moving away from God. It's a slow digression away from God, or slow progression. You're slowly going away. Prayer becomes less. Bible reading it wanes away. It's gone. And remember, at this point, you start running in the vicious circle of being offended. So you have an offense. And then you have unforgiveness. And then that results in bitterness. And then that brings more offenses. We just keep going. We get more easily offended. You've been offended once, and you harbor that in your heart, and you're not willing to release that. Well, that brother or that sister or that individual can do the smallest of things now, and it offends you more. And so we keep running in the circle. Well, this here ends up in hell. That's the end result, the lake of fire. Is it just one little thing that's been unforgiven? And as I've been thinking about this, I've seen this little seed of bitterness destroy many families, many individuals, and many churches, and we're not exempt. Yes, we've learned some things in life, in the Christian life. We're going to look at this plant as unforgiveness is the root, and bitterness is the fruit. You see, this seed doesn't. This seed can lie in the soil dormant for a long time. It can stay there. It's under the. It's in the subsoil. Nobody knows it. We think it's dormant. We make the words, well, I've forgiven him. You know, bitterness, we we've forgiven him. We cut off that. We say that it reared its ugly head one more time. The brother did something and he offended me again. My parents did something. My boss did something. And now I forgave him. And we're not talking about multiple different occasions. We're talking about sometimes the same brother coming again. And we say, well, we forgive him. I said, I'm sorry. But then at the right moment, the right time, it stirs up some things in my heart. And that's what we talked about. When you said you was all offended, there was incidents in our hearts that we all look back to. Something happened. Don't ask you a question, how do you know that there's not a root of bitterness in your heart? And in your life, you just spent time, you just cut down all the fruit. You want to get rid of all this ugly mess. That's, we don't like when this little seed is sprouting. We hate it. And so, again, we use, well, yeah, but I forgave him. How many of you ever chopped bull thistles for your dad out in the pasture field? Yeah. And Dad always told us, you can't chop them off. It's the middle of summer, you got to dig it out by the root. You got to take the root out because it's just going to grow again. We have these sanctified thoughts that... we say, well, you know, God's just dealing with that brother now. And I've heard men, they said statements like that because there was a little seed in their heart for years. It sat in there. Their families are destroyed. Yes. They would say they're free in Christ, they're forgiven, it's done away with. But then years later, I mean, people carry grudges for, those roots can go down, they get entangled for many generations. Generational hatred. People carry grudges for many generations for the oddest of reasons, sometimes even unknown reasons. They carry grudges. Nobody knows why, but we just don't like that family. We don't like that individual. Nobody knows why. It's just something that happens. I think back at, there's two volunteer fire departments that are in our area there, and the two of them don't like each other. For years, they haven't liked each other. My brother was there. He's working on one and a volunteer, and he don't even like him. Why don't you like him? Well, I don't know. It's just, we just don't get along. And so as generations pass, nobody knows why, but they don't like each other. It's foolishness. That's in the society, but can it happen in a church? It can. It can happen here. These are, when these things take place, so we often don't see any fruit for some time. But yet it's a grudge held without words. It takes people where they thought they would never go. Your children grow up in your home and they hear those bitter comments for years. And then they act upon them. Oh, we don't say anything. We've forgiven them, but our children know. Those families, that individual, that thing that grates me, they know that. What will be the outcome of our household when Daddy carries that little seed in his heart? So I'd like to encourage us, even if it hurts really bad, even if it hurts really bad, Jesus has encouraged us to pull it out by the roots. Now this here is going to stay like this. But we could just chuck the whole thing. So if we don't, you can trim off all of this. You can break it all off, and it's gone. You can take it all the way down to the soil. water, they leave it planted, it's going to come forth again next year. It's going to rear its ugly head, lest a root of bitterness springing up and thereby defile you and many others around you. So how do I know that I have forgiven someone? That my heart is clear. Because I believe none of us want these things that someday it's going to peek its ugly head out of the soil. How do I know that all those offenses that have happened to me in the past are gone? I mean, like, they're free. That I, like Joseph, can say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God is sovereign. God will do his work and his will in my life no matter what happens. What are some signs of unforgiveness? Some that I thought of are anger outbursts, easily offended. Because, you know, you run in that circle and you get offended a lot easier than you used to. Some people go silent. They can be a part of a brotherhood, but all of a sudden they're just all alone. They're a loner. It's because they're not clear in their heart. They're unteachable. My heart rejoices to see others face trials. You ever been there? Like, you know, someone else is going through some very hard trials. And no, we wouldn't say it. We would never say it in those words. But in our hearts, there's kind of this feeling that God's doing his work over there now, isn't he? That's not right. That's a telltale sign of something's wrong in my heart. Because when a brother goes through those things, or a family, or a church, or whatever it may be, it ought to put a burden on our hearts. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to put a burden that could be restored, that brother, those sisters, those families, those individuals could come through that shaped and molded into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ more fully than what they have. Not a, you know, this, oh, finally they're getting what they should be getting. We don't want to do that. Bitterness is simply an unforgiven root. That's all that it is. An unforgiven offense. So Jesus is the ultimate example of forgiveness when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And brothers and sisters, we also can say those exact same words. We can. When an individual walks in here, and again, referring back to those big glasses, you can put anything in there you want, but when they walk in there, you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It doesn't have to offend me. Because if that offends me, it gives opportunity for a seed to be planted, bitterness to spring up, and it's going to destroy me. Prepared glasses. That's a, you know, or a truck, or the boss's some correction to me, or a brother's tap on the shoulder. It's not worth saying, you know, well, it hurt me, but it's worth saying, Father, forgive them. They had no idea what they was doing in my heart. They had no idea. It can be the smallest of things. And one example is this. We can be offended by so very little things. You walk into Menards. You see a brother across the aisle. He doesn't see you. But I know he snubbed me because as soon as I saw him, he turned and he went the other way. But he didn't even know that I was at Menards. But I come away and I'm offended because I know he just turned his back and walked away from me. But he never saw me. Those little things like that, we say, well, they'll never affect us. But they do. It's the smallest things that get us. It's not those large things. Actually, the guy walking in with bug-eye glasses probably wouldn't offend me. But it could probably be something much smaller than that. Even though we say we carry no ill feelings, let's take an honest look at our lives today. And yes, it's okay to go back in memory lane and check out all of our offenses and just make sure that we have let go of our brothers, of our sisters, of our parents, of our neighbors, of whatever it may be. The neighbor that won't allow you to do X, or the neighbor that, whatever it may be, we just let it go. And if you're sitting here today and you can't think of any, then it's a good sign that they didn't take root in your heart. If you can't think of any offenses that, you know, just are glaring in your heart, that's okay. That's okay. It's a good place to be. Sometimes there are memories of the redemption work that Christ has done in our life. Sometimes we look back, there was an offense. There are several in my life that some people gave me some words of correction. And it didn't feel good at the time, but I look back today and God done his wonderful work there. Sometimes these memories are a testimony that I have not forgiven. I have not released it. You're sitting here today and there may be one or two glaring things in your mind. Maybe it's because we didn't let go of it. We just didn't let go. And it looks good. Today you feel good. Today you have a testimony for Christ. But remember, that seed will stay dormant for a while. And while it's laying there, the tap roots are going down. Eventually, the little seed's going to come up. It can be 20 years from now, and there can be some ugly things come out of that. These seeds that we allow to be planted in our hearts are continually shaping our lives. They help us make decisions because that affects the way I think. They influence every area of our life, even though they're unseen. And you keep them trimmed. They're still there, and they're still guiding and directing our hearts and our lives. And this isn't just for us, for older people. This is for the little children. Parents do things to children that offend them. But children don't stay there. You can look at your parents and say that God meant this for the furtherance of the gospel, and God will use it to shape each one of our lives. So my encouragement today is let's just pull out the roots and get rid of the whole thing. Let the axe be laid to the root of the tree. May the Lord bless each one of you.